welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later on, Tom Mix from 1949. But first, an episode of Gene Autry's Melody Ranch, a CBS episode from September 19th, 1948.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend.
From St. Paul, Minnesota, welcome to Melody Ranch with Gene Autry. Yes, your friendly local merchant who sells and displays helpful, refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum invite you to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Cottner, and yours truly, Perry Ward. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
All the days are so weary and long. Nothing seems right when she's gone. Maybe some of these days, on the crest of your way, she'll come back, dear old sunny San Juan. Roll on, dear old river, roll on. Carry this message for me. Tell her I'm lonesome, forlorn and blue. Say that I'm sending my love so true. When the long, dreary nights turn to dawn, nothing seems right when she's gone. All that's left of my schemes is to sit with my dreams on the bank of the sunny San Juan.
Well, thank you, folks. Thanks a lot. Say, Johnny Bond.
Yeah.
Come over here a minute, will you?
Well, just a second, Gene. I'll be right there as soon as I finish this.
Say, what are you doing over there anyway? Writing a letter?
No, I'm making a list of names of all the guys I can whip.
Oh, I see. Well, say, tell me, is my name on that list?
Your name?
Yeah, my name.
I'll take a look. Yep, there it is, right at the top of the list. Number one, right there, see it?
Now, wait just a minute. You don't think you can whip me, do you, buddy?
It says here I can whip you.
I don't care what it says there, bud. You can't whip me.
I can't whip you?
No, you can't whip me.
Okay, I'll rub your name out. Hey, that's telling him, Johnny. Now, on my list here...
Oh, your list. Don't tell me you're making a list of all the guys you can whip, too.
Yeah, but don't worry. You're both on it.
Well, buddy, you better take my name off, or I'll clean up the floor with you.
Yes, you will.
Yes, I will.
I said you would, didn't I?
Well, don't worry, Pat, old boy. Gene Autry won't treat us that way very long. You know, I'm taking a correspondence course in physical culture. Really gonna build myself up.
Oh, that's a good idea. How you coming along?
Just fine.
Yeah, just fine. They're gonna mail him his muscles next week.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Artery.
What's that?
You better watch your step these days. You ain't too safe as it is.
Oh, I ain't too safe?
No, I mean...
Well, what's wrong? What did I do?
Well, you remember a moving picture you made a while back where a mean villain sneaked up behind you with a knife and you whirled around real quick and shot him?
Yeah.
Well, you better watch out for that feller. He's still alive. I saw him in another picture just last week.
Oh. Oh, brother, what a fine couple of cowhands I've hired.
Hey, that ain't no way to talk about two real rootin' tootin' cowboys.
You two galoots, and you can quote me on this. have never rooted or tooted in your life.
Well, that ain't what the people thought when we was cowboys down in Mexico.
Listen, don't give me that stuff. I know for a fact that you two have never been in Mexico. Why, you don't even know how to pronounce it right. The correct Spanish pronunciation is Mexico. Mexi. When were you down there?
In Hoon and Hula. Oh.
Yeah, he's telling the truth, Gene. Fact is, we wrote a song when we was down Mexico way.
You two wrote a song?
Yes, sir.
Boy, I'll never forget that song. We was down south of the border one day. We had rode there. And we fell in love just as the stars above came out to play.
Yeah, and remember, Pat, how the mission bells told us to beat it?
Ay, 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 ay. Boy, what a song that was.
How did it go, boys?
Dear Oki, if you see Arky, tell him Texas got a job for him out in California.
Picking up prunes.
Picking up prunes. Oh,
well, that's that. Sing, will you, boys?
Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
On the mountain, my Lord spoke, from his mouth came fire and smoke.
Look so fine, ask my Lord if it were mine.
Every time I feel the spirit
moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Ain't but one train on this track runs to heaven and right back. Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Oh, yes, sir. That was mighty fine, lad. Mighty fine. And now...
Mr. Artery, there's one song that Johnny Bond and me wrote that we forgot to tell you about.
Well, it's probably just as well. What's the name of it?
Saber Dance Blues in the Old Corral.
Saber Dance Blues in the Old Corral. Did you sell many copies?
No, but we sure sold an awful lot of sabers.
Get out of here. Well, thank you very, very much, former employees. And now, with the help of the youngest third of the Pinafores, that would be Ione, I'd like to sing an old favorite of ours, and it goes something like this. Boys.
No letter today. I have waited since dawn. I've waited each day since you have been gone. No letter today. All the days are so long. Oh, why don't you write? I know I was wrong. Just give me one chance. Please, won't you forgive? I love you, my dear, as long as I live. I know it's no use. Though I hope and I pray, the postman goes by, no letter today. Just give me one chance, please won't you forgive? I love you, my dear, as long as I live. I know it's no use. Though I hope and I pray, the postman goes by. No letter today.
Well, thank you very, very much, Iowan, and thank you, folks.
Hey, ain't it about story time?
It is.
Well?
Well? Well, Pat, this Sunday I'm going to tell the folks a story about one of the best friends I ever had.
Oh, you don't have to talk about me like that.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Uncle Billy Harlow, a kindly, good, and generous man that I'll never forget. I called him Uncle Billy because, well, if you could pick the kind of an uncle you'd want, he's just the one I'd like to have. Anyway, I was working for the Rangers when I first met Uncle Billy. At that time, he was living in a little cow town called Silver City. I'd been sent over there by Ranger headquarters to look into some trouble they'd been having. And had only been there a day when Champ pulled one of his shoes. I asked the hotel clerk where the nearest blacksmith shop was, and he told me that Harlow's place was just down the street. When I got there, I saw a little gray-haired, hunched-over man working at a forge. I called to him. Hello there. Hey there, old-timer.
I didn't hear you, my friend. Hey, what can I do for you?
Why, I'd like to get a new shoe here put on my horse. Can you take care of it?
Yeah, been doing this over 50 years now, son. I reckon I can help you out.
That's good. I'll just wait here if you don't mind.
Yeah, be glad to have the company. Just make yourself to home. I'll be with you as soon as I finish this other job here.
Thank you.
Stranger in town, ain't you?
Yeah, that's right.
How long you been here?
Oh, just since yesterday.
You a cowpoke?
No.
Salesman?
No.
And you must be working for Jake Burdick. In that case, I can't help you. So you better be leaving.
Now, wait just a minute there, old-timer. In the first place, I don't even know Jake Burdick.
And what are you doing in Silver City?
Well, don't you reckon that's my business?
Sorry, son. Didn't mean to pry.
Oh, that's okay. Say, by the way, who is this Jake Burdick anyway?
Forgot you'd been here only a day, but for your information, Jake Burdick is the biggest crook that ever drew a breath. And I'm including the best of them.
Does he live here in Silver City?
Live here? Son, he owns Silver City. That is, except for this place of mine and a couple others are too small for him to bother with.
Then what makes you dislike him so much?
I don't dislike him, son. I hate him. Why, he'd kill his own mother if he thought there was a dollar in it for him. He's robbed, cheated, swindled, killed, and ruined more people than... No, what's the use?
Well, tell me, has he ever bothered you?
Well, not me personally. I don't think he will. Because if he ever so much as set foot in this place, I'd shoot him first and then ask him what he is doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me a minute. My fire's getting down.
Oh, sure. Say, old-timer, if it's all right with you, I think I'll just leave my horse here until this afternoon. I got a couple of things I want to take care of.
It's okay with me, son. And, say, you can forget what I just said. I'm just an old man who's a little tired of seeing his friends and his town get kicked around, that's all.
Well, I don't blame you a bit, Dad. But don't give up hoping that it'll change. Might, you know. Well, I couldn't tell Uncle Billy right then that I was in Silver City to look into the same things that he'd been talking about. You see, up at Ranger headquarters, we'd had our eye on Jake Burdick for a long time. But we had to be sure that our grounds were covered before we moved in. Now we were. And all we needed was the proof. And that was what I was after. So that same afternoon, I started looking for him. Jake Burdick's gambling hall. When I got over there, I took a good look around the place and then headed for a room in the rear. A poker game was in progress, so I moved in closer and watched.
I'll call your 50 and raise you 50.
Hey, well, Thomas, you must be reading my mind, because that's my bet. I'll just call your bet and raise you 50 more.
I'm afraid that's too steep for me, boys. Pass.
Me too. Count me out.
In that case, Morgan, I'll just raise you back 100.
Getting in a little over your head, ain't you, Thomas?
I'll worry about that. You just deal.
Okay. Just don't want to see you get in trouble, that's all. How many cards you want?
I'll play these.
Half hand, huh? In that case, I'll just take 3 and check.
I'll bet another 100.
And I call. What do you got?
King's full.
Sorry, Thomas. I got 4-7.
What? Why, you dirty crook, you cheated. You couldn't
you
have
better
had a
take
hand
that
like
back, Thomas, or prove it. One of the two.
Maybe I can prove it for him, Morgan.
Eh? Eh, who are you?
Just a man who doesn't like to see anybody cheated, that's all. Unless I'm mistaken, there's a 5th 7 in this hand right here that was turned over.
Eh? I know
you. Why, you
men
are no good.
Down, Morgan.
But, boss, this guy.
Stop. You're through for the night. And Mr. Thomas, the money is yours. As for you, stranger, I think we can talk better in my office. Care for a drink?
No, thank you.
What'd you say your name was?
I didn't say.
I like guys who don't drink and can keep their mouth shut. You're new in town, ain't you?
Well, yeah. Why?
Looking for a job?
Maybe.
You got one with me if you want it.
What makes you think I'd want it?
The money I'm going to offer you, for one thing.
Yeah? How much?
$250 a week. You interested?
What do I have to do?
You do whatever I tell you to do.
Okay. It's a deal.
Good. You start in the morning.
Well, I won't try to tell you all the things that happened during the next 2 weeks. Except that I got an eye full of just about the most crooked operation I'd ever seen. Uncle Billy had been right 100%. But the proof was going to be even harder to get than I thought. I kept my eyes open, though, and one night, about a month after I'd been there, I found out what I'd been trying to find out for a long, long time. Jake Burdick had sent for me to come to his office. When I got there, his door was open, and he was talking on the phone, so I listened.
Are you sure it was Harlow? Have you told anyone else? Okay, then take care of him before he does. Good night. Don't worry about that. I've got all the evidence right here. I'll put it in the safe. Yeah, and make sure there are no slip-ups.
Burdick hung up the phone, walked over to his safe, and I watched him open, and then headed downstairs. Now I really had to work fast. Uncle Billy's life was in danger. So I went to the telephone, called local ranger headquarters, and had him send over a couple of men to stand by. Then I conveniently arranged a little disturbance downstairs by starting a fight with the rough, tough-looking cowpoke standing at the bar. And that's when the place was out of. I watched until I saw Bertie come downstairs. Then I headed for his office. I went over to the safe in the corner. I could only remember the combination I'd seen Burdick use just an hour earlier. I tried it. 36 right 4 times. Left to 22. Right 15. Then 7 left. Now, that ought to do it. There. Let's see now. Money. Receipts. Oh, here we are. I, Jake Johnson, promised to...
Looking for some hombre.
What?
Don't reach for that gun. Just stand up with your hands over your head. Get us gone now.
Right.
When he came toward me, I saw the light switch out of the corner of my eye. It was a wild chance, but I decided to take it. As we got in front of it, I fell on my knees and swung.
Just then,
the lights went out. When I came to, I was in a room, flat on my back. I reached to where I thought my head was and felt a bandage. Then I opened my eyes.
Son, can you hear me?
Huh? Oh. Hello, old-timer. What happened? You all right?
Sure, I'm all right, thanks to you. Why didn't you tell me he's a ranger, son?
Oh, you didn't ask me.
But you could have got yourself killed.
Well, I had to take that chance, Pop. When it looked like they were out to get you. You tell me, did they get all the evidence?
Did they? Son, they got enough evidence on that gang to take care of all of them for the rest of their lives.
That's good. Did the Rangers get there in time?
I'll say they did. Just as the lights went out, there was a lot of shooting and the Rangers come running in. A few chairs were thrown, and for a minute or two, that was the gal-derndest fight you ever saw. Just like one of them Western pictures.
Where's Burdick now?
Well, you know where the jail is?
Yeah.
He's in it.
You know, folks, one of the best parts of the day out here in the West is along about sundown. Usually by that time, the cowboy's work's done, and he gets a chance to just sort of sit back and relax. So picture, if you can, the end of a long day's cattle drive. You and your horse have been going since sunup. You're both mighty tired. But up ahead is a cool valley where you'll make camp for the night. It's not far now, so start singing. We're weary and tired. Our work is all through, but we'll rest at the end of the trail. We'll stand by the fire where there's nothing to do when we rest at the end of the trail. If we feel like roping, we'll hitch to a star. So just keep on roping, it's not very far. We're weary and tired.
Beautiful, Gene. That's the kind of a song that strikes home with everybody, because sooner or later, after a hard day's work, we all hit the end of the trail. It's good to sit down and rest.
Yes, it's good to take it easy when the day's work's done, Perry. And then, when something's good to chew on, it's mighty satisfying. That's one of the times that I enjoy chewing healthful, delicious Double Mint gum. And I've noticed that the smooth, pleasant chewing help steady my nerves again. And while I'm enjoying that pleasant, easy chewing, I enjoy that delicious, refreshing Double Mint flavor, too.
And we'll rest at the end of the trail.
Well, folks, I guess that's just about the end of the trail for us, too. But next week, along about this same time and over these same stations,
We'll be dropping around for another Melody Ranch visit with you. We'd consider it a real compliment if you'd join us. Now, this is Gene Autry saying so long for the whole gang. Until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentle weed, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the reins once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie, I oh, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
Gene Autry, who can now be seen in the Columbia Cinecolor picture, The Strawberry Roan, who is now appearing at his big championship rodeo through September 26th here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good spare time pay, new friendships, training with modern equipment. Young men in America's National Guard have all these things. These days, the Guard is filling up fast, and you've got to be good to get in. If you're 17 or over, physically strong, mentally alert, there may be a place for you. Get full information. Find out if you can qualify. Contact your local unit or write to the Adjutant General in your state capital now. Join a fighting outfit, the new National Guard. Harry Ward speaking. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather each week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Gene Autry's Melody Ranch, untuned to yesterday, an episode from September 19th, 1948 on CBS. At the time, it had been on the network for 8 years, part of CBS's Saturday night lineup at 8 o'clock. Over 9 million people tuned in from week to week. And thanks for listening to this hour of Westerns untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for an episode of the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters program, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from December 16, 1949, called The Mystery of the Magic Mesa.
Atomic Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air. And from out of the West comes Tom Mix, America's favorite cowboy, and his Wonder Horse Pony.
Starts the morning with hot roasting, and he surely will agree that the form of pill at breakfast gives the cowboy energy. It's delicious and nutritious, made of golden western wheat. Take a sip from home, go and tell your mom, hot roasting, take TV.
Tonight, the makers of Ralston, the Straight Shooter cereal, bring you Tom Mix, United States Marshal, in The Mystery of the Magic Mesa. Marshal Tom Mix, his deputy Mike Shaw, and their good friend Wash, man of all work at Tom's ranch in the DM bar, have been attending a meeting of the Cattlemen's Association. The meeting has just ended, and Tom and our friends stand talking outside the Grange Hall when...
Powerful good speech you made, Tom. Them ideas you got about winter feeding cattle are darn good and darn good.
I'm glad you approve of them, Dan.
Yes. I beg your pardon, Dinch.
Beg your pardon. But I'd like to have a word with the Marshal myself.
Oh, howdy.
I reckon you don't know me too well, Marshal. O'Rourke's my name. Ringo O'Rourke. I just took over the old Circle 9 a few weeks back. Now, them ideas you got on winter feeding, they sounded mighty practical to me. I just wanted to thank you for them.
Not at all, Ringo. How do you find Dobie?
Dobie suits me right down to the ground. Fine land, fine folks, and I allow the best marshal in the country.
Well, now, there's a compliment for you, Tom.
Just saying what's true, that's all. I just heard today that you got a line on them smugglers, Marshal. Them hombres that have been running contraband across the Mexican border.
Help! Help me!
Oh, Tom! Hey, what are you talking about? Tom, coming towards us down the street. There, stumbling along like he's going to fall.
This old man with long white hair down to his shoulders and a squiggly white beard.
Well, that's Hardweather. Hannibal, the prospector. Hey, Hardweather! What is it, man? What's happened to you?
Marshal, thank the good Lord you're here.
Now, steady, partner, steady. Face scratched and bloody, his clothes are soaked to shreds. What's happened to you?
I've been running for most an hour. I don't know how I done it, but I didn't dare stop. He's come back, Marshal. He's up there on the mesa.
Who's up there on the mesa?
Wild Bill Crockett.
Adoration, Hardwinter. You ain't been showing Blue Loco, have you? Wild Bill Crockett, the bad man, he's been dead for... Well, Chuck, it must be 10 years or more.
But I've seen his ghost.
Oh, woe is me.
Now,
woe
stop it.
Me.
Stop it. There's no such thing as ghosts. You ought to know that.
Yeah, I know that, but the ghosts know it.
Now, look here, Hardwinter. Get straight of this. Just what happened?
Well, Marshal, I'm talking gospel. I've got my camp pitched up on the mesa, and I'm sitting by my campfire when I hear him off among the rocks somewhere. Hooray for me, he yells, just like he used to. I'm a Salt River roarer, he shouts, and he's coming closer all the time. I can lick 10 men with one hand, and I can make mincemeat out of you.
That's who, me? Poor little old backside me?
No, Wash, no, he meant me.
Well, good for you.
Because by that time he's standing in the firelight, all 7 feet of him, and as broad as he's tall, with that big white hat of his stuck back on his head. Me, I lit out of the Prado, and I've been running ever since. Marshal, I met up with Wild Bill Crockett many a time in my day, and I'm telling you, that was Wild Bill. Him or his ghost.
I figured on doing some hunting up on the mesa this week. The deer and goat is plentiful up there. But I reckon I'll be heading somewhere else to do me shooting.
Hey, Tom, what do you aim to do about this?
Oh, not much of anything, I don't think, Mike. Frankly, I allow the hard winter here. Fell asleep and had a dream. And in that dream...
Look!
What's that? Oh, woe is up, Mr. Tom. Look, and out there on the skyline where the mesa is.
Tom, there's lights up there on the mesa. Green lights, yellow lights, bobbing around the top of the mesa.
Now do you believe me, Marshal? Now do you believe I seen Wild Bill or his ghost?
I reckon you saw something, Hardwinter.
It certainly wasn't a ghost.
Then what was it?
That's something I aim to find out. Let's get our horses, Mike. We're riding for the Mesa Prado.
What did Hardwinter Hannibal see atop the mesa? What odd and peculiar mystery is beginning for Tom and our friends? Yes, and for us, too. Well, we'll know in just a moment. First, though, listen.
Ooh, boy. You shiver and shake these winter mornings when you have to get out of your nice, warm bed and paddle across that cool floor in that cool room and then jump into your cool clothes. Boy, it makes me cold just to think about it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, sir, there's one quick, sure cure for those early morning shivers and shakes, and that's a steaming bowl of good old instant Ralston wheat cereal.
Miss Gordon, you said it that time. Instant Ralston warm you up from head to toe just as quick as a wonk. Well, just the thought of that golden brown mouthwatering, tasty, scrambunctious, delicious, hypochlorous cereal, a steaming in the dish all nice and hot. I think just the thought of it makes me perspire with pleasure.
Why, Instant Ralston not only warms you up from head to toe, but it actually helps to protect you from inside against cold or damp raw winter weather.
Yeah.
So no matter where you live, up in the snow belt or down in the deep south where some winter mornings can get damp and chilly, remember, your best bet for a wintertime breakfast is...
good old lovable super cataclysmical instant roasting. The most mouthwatering name in the English language.
Remember to ask Mother to get you a red and white checkerboard package of...
instant roasting. Instant Ralston. That's all you gotta say, and you're gonna get the best taste in breakfast your taster ever tasted.
And now it's several hours later. Near the top of the mesa, in a cave hollowed out of the rock by centuries of wind and rain, 2 men sit over a small campfire. One of them, a man of average height, seems small, dwarfed by the tremendous size of the man who sits near him. The smaller man is Dave.
Want some more jerky, Crockett? Some more beans, maybe?
Beans? Jerky? I'm sick of beans and jerky. Beef! That's what Jack Crockett wants.
Another month or so, Crockett, and you'll be eating steak for breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Another month? I'll never stand it, I tell you. I need meat. Good red meat. I deserve meat.
Crockett, you not only look like your brother, but when you talk that way, you sound like him.
My brother? Wild Bill Crockett? He was a chicken-livered coward compared to me. Compared to me, Wild Bill was so small he could sleep in his hat. Me, I'm tough. Tougher than my dead brother ever
was.
Sure,
Crockett, sure, but it... sounds like somebody's coming.
Let him come. I'll break him in two. I'll tear up the earth with him
all. Quiet, fool, quiet. Figure it, swing. Corral your tongue till I'm sure. Now, let me give the signal. It's Ringo, right enough. Hey, here he comes.
Ringo?
Yes, Rebeck. Ringo O'Rourke in person. I got here as fast as I could. We got work to do.
Work? Can a man work on an empty stomach? Where's the steak you said you was going
to
bring?
There wasn't time, Crockett. I had to get here in a hurry. Now, you listen to me. Marshal Tom Mix and his deputy are on their way up onto the mesa right now.
What?
You heard me, Swayback. They're on their way.
I told you that idea of yours was no good. Scare the daylight down that old fool of a prospector. We send up them green and yellow rockets. And what happens? We bring a marshal down on us.
Well, my idea worked as far as it went. With the hunting season just starting in, I was afraid a lot of them ranchers and dobe might come poking up around here, hunting deer and goat. And I figured if we scared the prospector, he'd spread the word and keep them all away. Yeah, but I didn't count on Mix. Mix don't scare easy. In fact, he don't scare at all.
So what do we do now?
Leave him to me. I'll bust him in two. I'm hankering for a fight. And if I don't get one, you'll have to salt me down to keep me from spoiling.
Well, shut up, blasted Crockett. I repent the day we ever met up with you.
And I warned you at the time, Ringo. Don't say I didn't. But you had an idea. Always you got an idea.
Well, it's still a good idea. Crockett's brother, Wild Bill, was sent to Boot Hill on this mesa. And Jack here looks enough like Wild Bill to keep the ranchers away from here for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And that's all the time we need to smuggle in the rest of the contraband. After that, we'll be rich, Swayback. Rich. But right now, we've got to take care of Mix and his deputy.
Okay, so I ask you again. What do we do?
We let him down. That's what we do. And we do it tonight. We're dry gulching Mix and Shaw. It's the only way to get him and get him for sure. I'll get your rifle, Swayback, and come on.
Meanwhile, Tom, Mike, and Wash are making their way up a steep path that leads to the top of the mesa.
Better let the horses pick their way from here on.
Yeah.
Well, it don't make no difference with old Slopo. He always go where he want to go anyway. Isn't he? I feel so spine tingling, Miss Tom. I know you say there ain't no such thing as ghosts.
Oh, thunderation, Wash. Nobody asked you to come up on the mesa.
No, that's true, Mr. Mike, but I wouldn't be Fedlock Holmes the great detective if I failed to do my duty on account of being scared. Well, so scared or not scared, I goes on following the quarry, searching out the criminal, and searching out the greedy side of the hootie.
Oh, that's just a couple of owls, Tom, but... Wait a minute. Owls don't usually hang around the mesa.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. Those aren't owls. Signals. We'll leave the horses here. Owls, we can't come up there. We'll have to head that way over the rocks. The horses can't make it.
Oh, woe is me. Goodbye, Slowpoke, baby. I'll see you later, honey bun.
You all set, Tom? Let's go.
Yes, and keep your six guns handy.
Don't fret none about that.
Mike, wouldn't surprise me if that gang of smugglers we've been trying to track down are behind all this.
You don't know me neither.
You know, there are a number of caves up here on the mesa. Perfect hiding places for anybody who had something to hide. What's more, the mesa's close to the border. Now, suppose, and I'm just supposing, Mike, suppose the smugglers are hiding out here. Suppose they've been hiding here for weeks. Then something happens to destroy the safety of their hiding place. Something like, well, the hunting season just opened.
Yeah, I get you, Tom.
Now, all this is just...
Hey, down, behind the truck.
Oh, you mean damn ghost is using rifles?
There was nothing ghostly about that bullet, Morgan. I felt the breeze as it went by. By jingle, Tom, I would say that your hunch was correct. Them coyotes up there ain't friendly at all.
No, they're behind that boulder. I saw the flash of that second rifle.
Tom, that shot there came from over yonder. Looks to me like they've got us pinned down in a crossfire.
Yeah, they had us pinned down, you mean? That's one gone.
Yeah, nice shooting, Tom. What about that snake?
I'm going to have to blast him out. Keep me covered, Mike.
Oh, hold on, Tom, hold on. If you try to get that rock, you'll be out in the open. Clear out in the open.
That can't be helped. I have a good chance of making it if I run zigzag. Keep me covered, partner. Here I go.
Become a detective. Why, I ask myself. Only I don't answer. There are mosquitoes around here. Oh. Buzzing and whining all around.
They ain't mosquitoes. Part of them's bullets.
Oh, I thought you were.
Drop it. Drop that rifle over here.
Tom. That's all right, Mike. I shot the rifle out of his hand. Come on up and get the surprise of your life. Hey, come on, Wash. Come on.
Yeah, I sure will. Now that we done captivated these hombres. Oh, man, what a fight we put up.
Yeah. I never seen nobody fight like you did. Let's home.
Have a look for yourself, Mike.
What's in that? O'Rourke. Ringo O'Rourke. The new owner of the Circle 9.
Yeah, howdy, Shaw. Looks like you got me. But I'll tell you one thing. You won't hold me.
Where are they? Leave me at them. I'll tear them limb from limb. Where are they? Leave me at them.
There's a present tower to look coming towards us. A giant of a man.
And a fool, why didn't he stay in the cave?
I'm just itching for a fight.
Freeze, hombre, freeze right where you stand.
Why? Because you've got a gun? That don't worry me, mister. I'm going to rip you apart with my bare hands. I'm going to tear up the earth with you. I'm going to...
Oh. Now, Tommy's falling towards you, Tom. Yeah, he's going to be all right. I laid a bullet alongside his skull, that's all. Great guns, what a brute that is. The only man I ever seen who was anything near his size was Wild Bill Crockett.
This hombre looks like Crockett.
Well, he ought to. He's his brother, Jack Crockett. I repent the day I met up with him in Mexico, I can tell you that. He's all body and absolutely no brain.
Well, I better put the handcuffs on him whilst he's out cold.
Yeah, you better use mine too, Mike. I've seen men like him before. He can break a set of handcuffs as easy as a child breaks a rattle. Put both pairs on him, will you please,
yeah,
Mike?
Yeah, I reckon you're right, Tom.
Yeah. Now, Ringo, you better start talking. And don't stop until you've told us everything, hombre. Everything.
But the capture of Ringo O'Rourke, Swayback, and the giant called Jack Crockett is only the beginning, a foreshadowing of the terrible thing that's about to take place this morning. It's now about 9 o'clock at the Dobie Jail. Sheriff Lem Cooper has locked Ringo and Swayback into a cell together, while Jack Crockett has been placed in a cell by himself. As Sheriff Lem comes in from the outer office bringing the prisoners their breakfast, the giant Crockett glares at him through the bars like a caged animal.
Here's your breakfast, boys. Eggs, bacon, and coffee.
Pep! I want food! Steak! Steak I want! And steak I gotta have or I'll famish!
You'll take what you get and maggot. Now here, Crockett. I've told you. You perfect excellence. You knocked the pay right out of my hand.
Steak! A steak you'll get me over...
It's nothing you'll get now, hombre. You perfect excellence. I say you'll get nothing.
Come back here. Come back or I'll tear this jail apart. I'll wring his neck. I'm hungry. When I'm hungry, famine follows in my path. Give me steak. Give me steak or I'll butch this jail to splinters.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, Crockett.
What? What?
You heard what he said, Crockett. They're going to starve you now.
Ugh.
Ah, yes. But they got steaks across the street at the Dobie Hotel. I've seen them.
Let me out of here. I'm rough, but I'm tough. And I'm hungry enough to eat bear. Let me out!
Hey, Crockett, wait. They'll never let you out. They'll keep you here and starve you. But just across the street, Crockett, a great big juicy steak. If you break your way out. And you can do it, Crockett. You can do it. Try throwing yourself against the door. Throw all your weight against it, Crockett. Hide it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just keep thinking of them steaks, Crockett. Keep thinking of the steaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You perfect pestilence, what's coming off here now? Hey, you, you big lummox. Stop throwing yourself against that door.
Starve me, would you? Starve Jack Crocker, eh?
Just stand where you are.
You think to stop me with a gun? A puny gun. Out of my way. Out of...
Ringo, the wallop he gave the sheriff. He knocked him cold.
Here, steak. A steak I want and steak I'll get.
Now, Crockett, wait. Don't forget me and Swayback. Get this cell door open. Crocker!
Steak I'm after. A steak I'll have. Out of my way, all of you.
Crockett!
He's gone. And heaven help them that gets in his path.
Running amok, the great giant of a man, Jack Crockett, crashes his way toward the street. And crashes. In a moment, a climax you'll never forget. But first, every day, more and more families are switching to Rome, the most popular, fastest-selling hot whole wheat cereal in America. What's the secret of Ralston's popularity? Well, you'll find the answer the very first time you taste this golden brown cereal with a Western tang. It has a nut-like heart of wheat flavor that's out of this world. What's more, good old Ralston is a real Western cereal. Made of golden whole wheat, it's packed with energy. Real cowboy energy.
the kind of energy that helps you get going and keep going. And Ralston supplies bodybuilding nourishment that sticks to your ribs. It's the kind of a warm-up, build-up breakfast busy adults and active youngsters need to get going and keep going these chilly winter mornings. So no wonder, every day, more and more families are switching to Ralston, the most popular hot whole wheat cereal in America. Why don't you switch, too? With Instant Ralston, you can fix your family the nourishing hot cereal breakfast you know they need in just 10 seconds. Pick up a red and white checkerboard package of Instant Ralston at your grocer's and start tomorrow to give your family a better breakfast to help them do a better job. Now, unaware that Jack Crockett has smashed his way out of jail, Marshal Tom Mix talks with Old Hickory, owner of the Saddle and Gunsmith store down the street.
Well, if you're sure you can replace both firing pins in an hour, Hickory, I'll leave both guns.
Sure to have them for you in an hour, Tom. Them pins do need replacing. They're powerful worn.
Well, I can do without them for a short time. I'll see you in about an hour then, Hickory. Morning, Dusty.
Morning. Nice work capturing them critters last night, Marshal.
That's what I'm here for, Dusty.
Ah!
What in the world?
Leave the way for dangerous Jack Crockett.
Yeah! Great John Crockett, he's broken jail. My gun. Dusty, you got a gun?
No, Tom, no.
And I've got to go back to Old Hickory's.
Ah!
Well, he's got a hold of Luke Peabody. He'll kill him if I don't do something and do it pronto. Oh, here goes. Crockett! Stay where you are.
What? Why, it's Mick. Mick!
Marshal, wait. Let me get your gun.
No time. It's him and me. And it's bare hands.
I'm a-coming for you, Mick. I'm a-gonna bust you in two. Throw me in jail and starve me, will you? I'll show you who's boss around here. And before I'm through with you, I'm going to kill you.
We'll see about that.
As Crockett reaches for Tom, the marshal's foot slips. Giant hands are on him, lifting him, turning round and round with him. Crockett sends him flying through the air, across the sidewalk, through a plate glass window.
Come on, you little liver catawampus. Stand up to me. Me, Jack Crockett. I'm in for a fight, and a fight I must have.
You'll get it, Crockett. You'll get it.
His face now badly cut. Tom advances on Crockett warily. In his heart, he knows that his fists alone will never stop the raging giant. He must use his brain, his skill as a fighter. It must be skill and brains against sheer brawn. Crockett rushes upon him with a mighty roar.
His sledgehammer fist flashing the air. With lightning speed, Tom stabs his arm, but shoots across his shoulder, heaves, and Crockett's own mountain sends him spinning through the air a distance of several feet.
Now Crockett shakes his head, gets to his feet. He glares at Tom through blood-rimmed eyes.
Now I am a gonna kill you.
Come on then. Come on.
I'm a coming.
Again, the giant rushes in. Dwarfed by his size, Tom pounds into Crockett's stomach. Battering home blow after blow. Crockett opens his arms to crush Tom in a bear hug. Tom sees his chance. Smashes home an uppercut to Crockett's jaw. Sending the giant reeling backward. Backward against the shelf. Slam up to it. Down comes the shelf with Crockett under it. But he's up in an instant. Again, he's lunging for Tom. Tom stoops, rises, coming up under the giant with one mighty heave, sends him flying back against an iron stove. Again, Crockett rises. Wait. He's trying to get up. He's trying desperately.
I can outrun, outfight, out. Oh.
Suddenly, his eyes glaze. He slumps again to the floor, out cold.
You've done it, Marshal. You knocked him out.
No. He struck his head on the stove. He's unconscious. That's the main thing.
Yeah, to think a man could go that loco over a steak. He kept yelling he wanted steak, and he was heading for the hotel.
Have they got steak at the hotel?
Why, sure.
Then after we drag this hombre back to jail, I'll be heading for the hotel.
Nothing like a fight to make you hungry.
Who's hungry? I've got a black eye.
After one of the greatest fights of his career, Marshal Tom Mix brings to a successful close the mystery of the Magic Mesa. Stand by for a few words about next Wednesday's thrill-packed half-hour Tom Mix program in just a moment. Say, Mother, if you always seem extra rushed in the morning, listen to this. With Instant Ralston, you can cook a nourishing hot cereal breakfast for all the family in just 10 seconds. That's right. Instant Ralston takes only 10 seconds to prepare. Simply stir into boiling water or milk, turn off the heat, and it's ready to serve. And boy, oh boy, what a breakfast. Instant Ralston has a nut-like heart of wheat flavor everybody goes for. Made of nourishing whole wheat, Instant Ralston is a warm-up, build-up breakfast that sticks to the ribs, helps your family keep going strong all morning long. So if you're extra rushed in the morning, remember, you can still serve your family the nourishing hot cereal breakfast you know they need with Instant Ralston. For Instant Ralston takes only 10 seconds. That's right, just 10 seconds to cook. Pick up a red and white checkerboard package of Instant Ralston tomorrow. And say, be sure to listen to Tom Mix Friday for... The Mystery of Panther Pass, a story of rip-roaring Western adventure. Tom Mix was played by Curly Bradley and written by George Lothar. The part of Deputy Mike Shaw was played by Leo Curley.
Start the morning with hot Ralston, and you surely will agree that the form of build-up breakfast gives you cowboy energy. It's delicious and nutritious, made of golden Western wheat. Take a sip from home, go and tell your mom hot Ralston can't be beat.
This is Don Gordon speaking for Ralston, the hot whole wheat cereal that's mighty good tasting, mighty good for you.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters program on Tuned to Yesterday from December 16th, 1949 on Mutual. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.